Thank you for tuning in to the Andrew Miller Show. This is being recorded Tuesday, November 7th, 2023, Election Day, which means the results as you know them now were not known at the time of this recording. And I know that I've been saying, hey, this is a great year to run independently or as a third-party candidate. I've been a broken record about it this past season when talking in other episodes and such. But, those options just are not as many as they are other seasons. There are still some, but not as many. A little less. So, I know where I live, for example, it's only a state legislature and local, and that's it. So typically this would be a very, very low voter turnout year, and it may very well again, or it may not. There's a couple possibilities how this may turn out. One reason it may not be as low as typically expected. Again, it may still be lower than whale shit. It still may be embarrassingly low voter turnout after all. We're going to find out after the results come in, but it still may be business as usual, as expected, lowest turnout in a four-year period. Or things may go up a bit as far as turnout goes. And that's because, as we know, the Republicans have basically become the party of Trump and the party of all this culture war bullshit that's even seeped into the local levels and state levels. Even where I live in New Jersey, where for a while Republicans have been known to be moderate compared to the rest of the country and how batshit they are. But it's seeped in here as well. So of course that may drive independent or Democrat-leaning voters who typically would sit this one out to go to the polls and hold their nose to keep the crazies out. And another factor, though, going in the other direction is, I'm sure you've all heard about New Jersey U.S. Senator Bob Menendez and his corruption and bribery charges. Like, we're talking cartoon supervillain shit going on here. All right, gold bars, like envelopes full of cash, but gold bars? And this is in real life, not some cartoon, not some movie. Real life, like this is nuts. So of course, he's really giving his party a bad name. So being that he's tarnishing the party's reputation, you know, a lot of people who are Republican-leaning or not always reliable to vote Democrat may very well come out and vote Republican because of the bad rap that they're hearing about Democrats and the bad name that Bob Menendez has gave them. I mean, it's a shame that one individual could do that, but again, that's how it goes. So, it could go either way regarding that. It could either be a huge turnout for Democrats who want to keep out the book banning crowd, or it could be a larger turnout for Republicans because enough with the corruption, enough with these career politicians and incumbents, and I'll get to that in a bit. And so we could go either way, so it'd be interesting to see how it goes. And because of those factors, while I've always been saying this is one election, if anything, the best time to run and vote third party or independent, and I'm not going to advise against that at all. In fact, I will go into certain circumstances going on where you should. If it's on the ballot, do it. But I could also see this is why people hold their nose for a so-called lesser evil candidate, whether Republican or Democrat. I mean, the perfect examples are right here now, and I'll go over some of those, well, Bob Menendez being one of them. And do not blame me for Bob Menendez, because every time I got to vote in an election with him, I never voted for him. I voted for third-party candidates. I know the last time when he ran in 2018, I voted for the Green Party candidate who ran again in 2020 when it was Cory Booker running for re-election. And she was also a guest on this program during the first season, so you should check out that episode. So yeah, I have no regrets. I have zero regrets because anytime something awful comes out about Bob Menendez being corrupt and everything, yeah, don't look at me. I didn't vote him there. I didn't say, oh no, Republicans bad, so I better hold my nose and vote for this guy. Nope. I have played no part in that. So I am not to blame. Zero regrets. And again, he's making it harder for his so-called lesser evil party, if people want to call it that, to succeed today. So if someone says, hey, vote for the lesser evil every year, well, that's why it's going to be even harder for the lesser evil, if that's what you want to call the Democratic Party, to win in New Jersey today. Again, the incumbents may easily get reelected again, who knows? Because it typically is a low voter turnout year. And again, as far as the culture war crap and all the book banning and all that going on, and that being a popular theme, yeah, people may come out to vote against that. And then again, the bad reputation that Menendez is giving could swing it the other way as well. So this is going to be interesting. We'll see how it turns out. It could turn out an interesting result, or it could just be not interesting. Like, yeah, same as last time, whatever. All right, so I'm looking in my state, New Jersey. I know this show, I interview people all over the country, and when I went to the Libertarian Party site, the Green Party site, they do have candidates. Each has candidates running for office all over the country, state and local. Not as many as other years, of course, but they still do. And I know I got to interview a couple of them recently as well. But here in New Jersey, as far as the state senate goes, there are 40 legislative districts in New Jersey. 40 legislative districts. All right. And out of 40 for state senate, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six and seven, eight. Eight candidates who are not Republican or Democrat running for state senate across New Jersey. I know in District 2, there's Sean Peck, Libertarian Party. District 4, there's Giuseppe Costanzo, Conservatives, South Jersey Party. District 5, Mohammed Kabir, Rights, Tranquility, Peace Party. So I don't know what a lot of these, some of these even mean. They can mean anything. So yeah, that's why it pays to look up these candidates, find out what they're about, if you can find information about them. District 11, Karen Zelotel, NJ Patriot Party. District 12, there's a Nina Jacques-Nowitz, Results Not Politics Party. All right. District 16, we have another Libertarian Party candidate, Richard Byrne. And then District 29, Pablo Oliveira, Labor Party. That's like a party you hear about in like every other country except America. I know they're like a major party in England, or the United Kingdom rather. And then District 33, we have Joanne Koniecki, Socialist Workers Party, who was a guest on this show when she ran for governor in 2021. So you could listen to that episode. But another thing I want to point out about District 33, where she's running, is that you cannot claim throwing your vote away or spoiler in this one. I mean, I don't believe in claiming that in any election, to be honest. I don't buy that narrative. I think it's mostly a myth. I mean, once in a blue moon, there may very well be some kind of behind-the-scenes thing where someone may try to get that going on, like, hey, we'll have this person run independently so they could pull votes away from another one. I'm not saying that never happens or that's never the intent, but in, I'd say, vast majority of cases, maybe even 99% of them, that's not a case and it's a myth and it's nonsense. That's my take on it. All right, so the incumbent is running unopposed, this guy named Brian Stack, who is a Democrat. So there's no Republican candidate. There's no other candidate. It's just those two. Brian Stack, the incumbent Democrat, and then Joanne Koniecki, Socialist Workers Party candidate. So only two choices, but one of them is not a major party candidate, being Democrat or Republican. So you do have a chance to vote against the incumbent and to vote outside the two-party system without anyone being able to tell you that, oh, you're spoiling it, or you're taking votes away from someone else. No. So this is, if you're in District 33, this is your chance. If, you know, if you like what this candidate and their party stands for, or you prefer it over the incumbent, or you think the incumbent is just awful for whatever reason and you really want to stick it to them, whatever the case may be, you easily have that option. You know, so it's just something to think about. And that's another thing too, a lot of, when you get even more local, you do see a lot of unopposed elections, and I think that should be like opportunity for a lot of independent and third parties to really jump on that. That way it could just totally get rid of the whole spoiler nonsense narrative and let you know, hey, no, it is a legitimate option. It is an actual option. It is an alternative to what's already there. And if it succeeds, it could help grow. All right. So, yes, the Libertarian Party seems to be the one party or slogan that has more than one candidate. That's for state senate. General Assembly, again, 40 districts, but there are two General Assembly candidates for each party, typically, because there's two General Assemblymen or General Assemblywomen who serve, and you get to vote for two. So if you're someone who wants to vote for one of each major party, you can. You can vote one Republican, one Democrat if you want. You could always do a write-in vote if you want as well. There's always that. And that one we have, once again, District 33, a Democrat running unopposed, incumbent running unopposed, and no Republican running, but once again, Socialist Workers Party, Lee Sherman is the candidate there. So once again, your chance to vote outside the major parties without anyone being able to tell you you're spoiling it or taking votes away from another candidate. You know, so that's a very, very good strategy there. Like, hey, oh, someone's running unopposed, and this is where we need to field a candidate. Good idea. I know there's District 31. There's Leadership Experience Values Party. All right, two candidates there. Mary Jane Desmond and Naomi Velasquez. And then, and the Corruption Party, Veronica Fernandez in District 24. And David Diaz, Libertarian Party, District 19. John Morrison, Libertarian Party, District 13. And Barry Bendar, Green Party, District 9. And yeah, I would say vote for him if you live in District 9. He was a guest on this program a while, like last year, I believe, year before, when he ran for town council or town committee, whatever the local level government is where he lives. He ran for office there. I interviewed him, really great guy. If you live in District 9, I would suggest voting for him. That's just me. I know I would if I lived there. Then District 4, we have Maureen Dukes, Penrose, Conservatives, South Jersey. All right. So yeah, out of 40 districts, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah, 7 districts have that option, and only one of them has two running in an alternative party. So the other ones, yeah, since you get to select two, yeah, you could have one be for the third party candidate and one be a hold your nose vote. Especially the one like District 33, which on opposed, you get to pick two and there are only two candidates. So nobody's stealing votes from anybody. All right. Like, we really need to get off of that nonsense. But again, me saying that does not change the minds of the entire electorate overnight. And there are reasons people do hold their nose. So, for example, one common complaint is career politicians. Career politicians, they rely on being a politician. They're just sucking the system dry, getting all the benefits of being in government for so long, then becoming corrupt, all of that. And yeah, that will get people to hold their nose for whatever major party is challenging their incumbency. I know, for example, where I live, our state senator running for re-election, he's also a mayor in a town that's within the district. So he holds two offices, mayor and state senator. Is that allowed? Well, for a long time it was. And the reason he's still allowed is because in the law, there was some type of loophole, if you want to call it that. So he holds a seat in the New Jersey Senate and as mayor. It's a dual position, often called a double dipping. Now, in 2007, there was a law enacted to prevent dual office holding. But there's a grandfather clause in it that allows those who had held both positions as of February 1st, 2008 to retain both posts. Now, I understand that if the two positions they're holding, their elections are not at the same time, so it's like, all right, so yes, I mean, serve out the rest of your term in, or the rest of your terms in both of them, you know, just serve it out. You know, that way there doesn't have to be some sudden emergency election or whatever. You know, just serve it out, whatever. And then when it's up, no longer serve. I mean, that's how I would look at that. Now, does this make him the worst person in the world? No. Does it make him comparable to Hitler or anything? No. But as of a matter of ethics and principle, if this was me, I would have given up one of them. I would have said, hey, there's a reason this law was passed, and this is how most of the voters and the residents want it. And therefore, I would pick one that I stick with. You know, which one am I better at? Which one do I enjoy more? Which one do I have the most success at? And stick with that one. And then let someone else have a chance to go for the other one. And let democracy flourish that way. Because 2008 to now, that, like, we're talking well over a decade here. We're talking 15 years later. Yeah, 15 years later we're talking. And still holding two offices. Like, that, something about that doesn't sit well with me at all. But again, it doesn't mean he's the worst person in the universe. And he may very well have, you know, some views that I may agree with. He may not have, he may or may not have an awful voting record. It's just that one thing, as a matter of principle and ethics, if it were me, I wouldn't continue doing that. And that's my two cents on him. So yes, I could see why that would cause people to hold their nose for the Republican candidate who's challenging him. And then you look at what the Republicans in this district are running on. On the top of the list, you see the parental rights, you know, with education and stuff. And then I know you see family values. Now, those are code. As far as I'm concerned, those are code for authoritarian bullshit. Those are code for things like book banning, trying to dumb down education, trying to claim parental rights when it's usually, well, people who don't really have background or credential in education, but want to tell everybody else what the curriculum should or should not be anyway. And also, there's a lot of things like wanting to tell you what kind of personal life you can and can't have. Family values. Those tend to be like the anti-gay politicians, to be honest. So when I see that, I already know what it's code for, and that's not something I would support. Which goes to why people may hold their nose and vote for this Democrat incumbent. You know, despite whether or not people think he's great, despite what people may feel about him holding two different offices and double dipping, they may hold their nose for him anyway to keep out the crazies, to keep out the book banners and all those shitheads. So this is what we have. Some people may hold their nose to go against all this career politician stuff, understandable. And then people may hold their nose to keep out the authoritarians and all this culture war crap. Very understandable as well. So that's what we're stuck with, because there's no independents or third parties running in this district this year. So this is going to be, if anyone bothers to show up in this one, it's mostly going to be hold your nose voting for this. Like, yeah, this candidate stinks, but I got to hold my nose and pull lever for them because the other one's even worse. That's what this one's going to come down to, sadly. So regarding other candidates running for office for New Jersey District 36, we have on the Republican side a candidate running for the General Assembly. When I received the attack ads in the mail, it blew my mind. It was cracking me up. But I had to fact check them. Whoop is what's going on here. That is correct. New Jersey Globe article, you could look it up. Assembly candidate spread fecal matter on daycare center doors. Whoop. Admits it was wrong, says he was involved in dispute with daycare center owner, and that he was angry over Obama's election because it happened in 2009. Now, I know that sounds like a long time ago, but he was in his late 30s when this happened. Even though he says, oh, I was young at the time, whatever. I typically don't care what people do in their teens or 20s or whatever. I mean, let people have a journey. We live, we learn. But when it's the party that is really, really quick to judge people, especially if they're not in that party, the Republicans, I have to call it out. So he pled guilty to smearing fecal matter on the doors of a children's daycare center in East Rutherford following a 2009 neighborhood dispute with the owner, police records show. Yes. He pled guilty to mischief charges after a dispute with the owner of the children's studio, whose building was adjacent to an electrical company he owned at the time. And someone smeared fecal matter all over the handles of locks and doors of their business, police detective Chris DiCarlo said in his report about the owner of the center notifying him. And there were even pictures of the incident, so he was caught red-handed or brown-handed. So Joseph Viso, or Viso, however he pronounced it, that's the name of the candidate. And Paul Sarlo is the name of the Democratic candidate I was previously talking about, the incumbent for state senate, who's also a mayor of Woodridge. And I was talking about that whole holding two offices at once thing. But this takes the cake, though. Joseph Viso, or Viso, Republican candidate for General Assembly. And he told the New Jersey Globe he had cleaned up the doors. Aw, isn't that nice? Now, he admits he's wrong. He says, I was a young man. Late 30s, I don't know about that. And police reports say that his company would frequently blast loud music with offensive lyrics next to the daycare center playground. So between that and poop all over the door handles, pretty funny that this is the party that is so concerned about what kids are being exposed to at school. Again, you know, it's always, these are always the most hypocritical people ever. You know, when they're pointing their finger at you, they always have the other three pointing back at themselves. Never forget that. And there's so much more. He has a huge criminal record, because again, this is the party of law and order and personal responsibility. Oh man, we're talking, 2016 plea deal, appeared in federal court, admitted to one count of conspiracy to distribute methadone, and he was sentenced to 3 years of probation. Charged with possessing 5,000 grams of methadone, an ingredient used to manufacture Molly or ecstasy tablets. Wow. Again, it's a whole list of things. And there's a whole other article, too. New Jersey Globe. Assembly candidate convicted of drug and gun charges has long history of legal woes. Wow. See, the things that a lot of people have known, whether online or in person, who tend to vote for this party or tend to call themselves conservative, they tend to judge people pretty harshly if they've done even a fraction of what this guy has done, even if they were young when they did it. You know, they're always quick to judge people and be holier than thou. And yet, when it comes to someone running in their party, it's all of a sudden anything goes. All right. Now, he says, I was sick fighting cancer. I got myself in trouble. I had to sell my pain medications to pay for my health insurance. And that I do sympathize with. I mean, healthcare is a fucking ripoff in this country. But maybe he should be running to fix that. but he reached out to his district chair of the party, and yeah, they let him run anyway. All right. Oh yeah, also charged with possessing a sawed-off shotgun near a school, possessing a gun while committing a crime, and multiple drug offenses in Carlstadt and East Rutherford. Accepted a plea deal and admitted to having a prohibited weapon, a defaced firearm, a fourth-degree crime. He was sentenced to 2 years probation in 2019. And he agreed to the plea deals only because he couldn't afford lawyers. All right. He was charged with possession of heroin and jailed for 7 days in 2013, record show. And again, this is happening when he's in his early 40s, all right? So a whole long list of all kinds of crimes, you know, as a fully grown adult. I mean, we're not talking stupid stuff people do in their high school or college years or anything like that. This is like, come on. And he claimed he wasn't a heroin user. He says, you know, he peed in a cup and never tested positive for heroin. Okay, who knows? Maybe it was someone else's. I mean, he did have his own business going on. Could have been someone who worked for him. Who knows? But again, if this was anyone else, people who would vote for this guy would judge you pretty harshly. All right? And, oh, charged with first-degree burglary at one point. Wow. Electric line, PSG, had disconnected it for non-payment. And, wow. Oh, filed for bankruptcy in 2012, listing over $3.3 million in debts to over 200 creditors. Includes over $3,000 to his bail bondsmen. Hey, aren't they running on bail reform? M&M bail bonds in Hackensack. Several of his properties faced foreclosure. Owed over $400,000 in credit card debt, more than $125,000 in unpaid business loans, and more than $42,000 in unpaid federal and state income taxes, and over $2,000 in unpaid wages to employees. Wow. And supposed to be the party of being good at business, right? Thousands of dollars in unpaid tolls, unpaid parking tickets, totaling more than $6,000. Again, the party of law and order. Wow. So his tab for outstanding bills to unpaid code violations to the state was roughly $43,000. And there's also been tax liens against him as well. So again, you know, filing bankruptcy for owing millions in debts, over 200 creditors, over 400,000 credit card debts. You know, aren't these the people who will shame you if you're someone who wouldn't mind having $20,000 of student loan forgiven? Yeah, which is why I never take anything people of these leanings say seriously, and why they could go screw themselves. Biggest hypocrites ever. So I went over why it could be challenging for the Democrats because of Bob Menendez and then any incumbents with the whole bad rap about career politicians. Well, some people may say, hey, enough of this. Then I went over how it could be challenging for the Republicans because now they're not just the alternative to the Democrats, whether it's someone challenging an incumbent or an incumbent that people want to keep. It's now either the party of Trump, which means basically most people are either going to love them or hate them, rather than have to weigh it out. And the party of all the culture war shit and the authoritarian bullshit, you know, hiding under innocent-sounding names like parental rights and family values. And people who see through that and don't like it are going to hold their nose and vote against that. So this is where we are right now. In this particular election with that. So, today is the day. And hey, if you have a really good third-party candidate you agree with on the ballot, of course vote for them. You know, especially in an election where you could vote for two candidates. I mean, yes, if you believe in a lesser evil thing, you still could do that for one of your votes, and then still vote your conscience for the other vote. Because, again, this whole lesser evil voting is what keeps getting us into this mess. And I understand holding your nose to keep out the crazies. And if that's the only option you have, you know, this may be the year to do that. There's no other options anyway. I don't want things to get any dumber than they are. So This will be the could be the time to hold your nose to keep out the crazies. But it's just not something I recommend every year. Because while it may very well be the best thing for someone where they live to do it this year only, sure, but doing that every year is why we get people like Bob and Nick, and why we, every election becomes a race to the bottom and worse. So of course, vote your conscience, and if there really isn't anything on your ballot, and it's just a matter of holding your nose to keep out the corruption or to keep out the crazies, whichever way you're going to swing on that or whichever way you're going to look at it on that, then yeah, this may be a year to do that. Otherwise, you know, don't let this election totally change your principles if you have good principles going forward either. Because again, when you have presidential elections, there's only like a few states that decide who's going to get it, whether it's the Republican or the Democrat. So if you live in most other states and you don't like either, then screw either. I mean, you have other options. Vote your conscience and really send the message out. And as far as candidates running unopposed, I know I pointed to a couple in my hometown for town council. Republicans running unopposed. No Democrat options there. So I usually write in for that. I know there's one person in my town who years ago served on the town council for a bit, and he's also been active with the Bernie Sanders campaigns 2016 and 2020. He's been a delegate. He was a guest on this program in the very first season. I think it was like the second episode I did, so you could check that out. So usually I write him in because there's nothing to spoil. I mean, it's just the same people running unopposed all the time who are going to win anyway. So I'm just, my way of just putting my foot down saying, hey, I'm going to vote, but I'm just not going to go along either and let this unopposed thing make me give up. Especially considering that it's not that this town is overwhelmingly registered Republicans either. But the thing about that, even if it is more registered Democrats, there could be two possibilities here. One could be, there could be something shady going on where the person who's in charge of the Democratic Party in this town may, their job may basically be to keep people from getting on the ballot. And really, I mean, who knows? I mean, I'm not going to make that claim because I can't prove it right here and now, but, you know, if people want to go into like these conspiracy theories and shit, you know, like, hey, it could happen on the local level, and, you know, that may very well be something going on. And if it's not what's going on, which it very well may not be, it could just be a matter of people not updating their party affiliations. Like, a lot of these registered Democrats in my town could just be, you know, people, like, from my parents' generation who probably, like, voted for Dukakis or somebody, like in a primary in the late 80s or something. And then that was the last primary they ever voted in, and they never left this town either. And, you know, they just never updated. And so they're just still a registered Democrat because of that. They might have, people, anyone who could have voted in one Democratic primary at any point since living at their current address for however long could just not have updated since then. Or there could be people who were Democrats until a certain turning point, and then from then haven't voted Democrat since, yet they don't really get involved in primaries, so, you know, they have no reason to register in any other party, so they just never updated. So that could be a huge factor as well. And that's probably most likely it. I mean, I could totally see that being it. But again, you know, unless you're really gung-ho about somebody running unopposed, and you're going to support them unopposed or opposed no matter what, that's one thing. But if not, yeah, I mean, write someone in, write yourself in, you know, just, you know, make it known that, yeah, you'll vote, but not just for anybody. And, you know, you're not going to vote for the same shit that keeps getting shuffled around. So that's where we are with this election season. If you've made it this far into the episode, I want to thank you for listening. My 2 cents on this. And just something to think about for all elections going forward. I mean, yes, we do want better candidates. Yes, we do want more options and better options. so we're not stuck holding our noses all the time. You know, because it's not something I'm happy to do if, on the rare occasion that I do it, sometimes there's just no other option, and yeah, I've got to keep the crazies out. But again, I don't want to be the person who keeps giving you people like Bob Menendez. And again, I am proud that I never voted for him. I am proud that I always voted third party against him. If there was ever a primary where he had a challenger, I'm proud that I voted against him and such. So I can't be blamed for that. And, you know, let's keep it that way. Let's keep going for the better options and more options so we don't have to run into an election like this one again. And instead, we could have ones where we could vote for, not against, and not keep feeling stuck voting for lesser evil because it's just gotten that bad with the opposing side or the so-called lesser evil that easily would have swept this election is now having a tough time because of somebody who gave them a bad name, that somebody keeps getting elected in the name of a lesser evil. If someone wants to say, well, if you think he's so bad, you could have just held your nose for the Republican. Yeah, Bob Menendez's Republican challenger last time around was the CEO of a pharmaceutical company, which under his watch has donated money to prior Bob Menendez political campaign. So either way, that pharmaceutical big pharma was going to win. So it's a joke. Like, this is what we call a choice. Come on. So yes, we continue pushing for more options and better choices. And if you want to hear other episodes of the show where it's not just me babbling, but instead other people on the show, candidates running for office, I mean, feel free to listen to all these other episodes. Feel free to follow this on Spotify or Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. And that way you're notified when the new episode comes out. You'll hear me interview candidates running for office. You'll hear me interview people who are active or in charge of certain causes, even electoral reform, whether it's ranked choice voting, participatory budgeting, open primaries. I have episodes about that. So just tune in and we'll be able to go from there. So again, it's the Andrew Miller Show. Find us on Spotify, Apple, a few other platforms I never heard of until doing this. And until then, let's keep moving forward together, and peace out.